morning, brethren. And newsflash, Satan is a liar and a loser, and God is a good God. I shall be reading 1 Corinthians 7, 29 through 31. Bear with me. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remains that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep, as though they wept not. And they that rejoice, as though they rejoice not. And they that buy, as though they possessed not. And they that use this world, as not abusing it. For the fashion of this world passes away. May God give you understanding in his word.
The song tells us that time is very short. And because time is very short, we need to be more considerate. And we need to think about things, whether married or single. It's no question about it. We all have an appointment. It's an appointment that's unique. It can't be rescheduled. When that appointment is scheduled for us, we don't know when it is. We have to keep it. And so we have to utilize the time on the stage that God has given us to do what he wants us to do. Since that time is limited, since there's so much uncertainty about it, the one thing we know is it will come. And since that's the case, it behooves each of us, as the song would have told us, to put first things first. Because we only have so much time, and then it will be over. Paul gives us some information that is very relevant in that particular area that should make us cognizant of that very fact and utilize the time that we've been allotted wisely. Paul makes statements that will allow us to be able to view that very importantly and make good decisions. Paul's statements that we're going to be reading are responses to questions that he'd been asked by the members of the congregation in Corinth. But they are not only relevant for them, they are very relevant. For us today. Look at what Paul says. Let's take the first one. The first one that we're going to read is not the key one, but it's related to that. He said, in response to the questions that he'd been asked, Paul was in a different situation than, say, Pastor High is. We can walk up to him and ask him, or we can hand him a note, but Paul had to respond to letters that he received. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1 and 2, he says, now for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man to marry. But since there's so much immorality, it is good for a man not to marry. I missed that. But since there's so much immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. To that I say amen. I love being married. Then skip ahead to 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 29. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 29, listen to what he says here. What I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. Keep that in mind. Remember, the time is short. It was short during Paul's time. Our time is short today. Prior to that time, people lived sometimes 700, 800, 900 years. Now you don't know anybody who lives that long. You have a difficult time finding somebody who lives to be 100. So we can see through the ages, time is indeed short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they have none. Listen to that. Those who have wives should live as if they have none. Look at that picture. Isn't that beautiful? A man and a woman together, they've been married. Marriage is a beautiful thing. But Paul says the time is going to come when you ought to live like you don't have a wife. What does that mean? You know, marriage has a lot of perks. I mean, if you're happily married and not like those people that Pastor Hyde talked about last week. Marriage is an exciting thing. There's nothing like it. Then listen to the other part. He goes on, verse 30. Those who mourn as if they did not. In other words, don't get all bent out of shape because things haven't gone right for you. And for those who are happy, as if they were not. So that those who buy something, as if they were not, it was not theirs to keep. So these are rather interesting statements. Stay with me now. Don't say, well, that's contradictory. Where's he going with all that stuff? Stay with me, you'll see. Verse 31. Those who use the things of the world as if not, don't get engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. That tells you that the world we live in is temporary. The things we do are temporary. The things we have are going to only be for a little while. But keep reading. I would like for you to be free from concern. What kind of concern? I mean, I would like for you to be free for concern. If you're married, yeah, you're married. But don't be too concerned about it. It's not going to last forever. If you're single, now look at that picture, single. Being single. He says that's okay. And there are some people who have the gift of singleness. They do exceptionally well, single. And then there are people like me who don't have that gift. I like being married. But either way, he said, don't be overly concerned about that. He said, I would like for you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of the world, how he can please his wife. You can ask Mr. Hill, he'll agree with me. It's nice to be concerned about your wife. It's nice to have that concern. But Paul says, don't be concerned about it. Does he mean don't be concerned at all or don't be overly concerned? Let's go on. We'll see. Being alone is really something. And in guys especially, and I'm beginning to hear women say that. I'll give you an example. There was this one guy, actually two gentlemen who are my nephews. They're seeing two women, beautiful women. Smart, they're both going to be doctors. And we were talking, and they sort of liked their uncle, and they were talking to me, and I said, fellows, what are your plans? It's no plans, they say. Forget marriage, it's too much drama. I think, what? He says, too much drama. One guy said, there's a cartoon of one guy who two guys are together, and one guy says, I'm single. The other guy says, why are you single? He said, every time I think about getting married, I call Marriage Anonymous. And they send over an ugly woman with face cream, hair rollers, and she nags me until I forget about the whole idea. People are different. Some people have that feeling for singleness, and then there are those who get married. Now, somebody is saying, where is he going with all of this? It just goes to show that people have different ideas. But you're going to see where I'm going and where Paul is going, what's more important. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of the world, how he can please his wife. Moving on to more scriptures that he wrote. Let's see how I put this together here. Paul makes further statements about this. And we are seeing that before we move on, we can see this. He is not saying that it's a sin to be married. It's not saying that it's a sin to be single. I remember a time when guys who were single were really harassed. You know, we met guys who were 40 years old, and they're still single, and they're still living at home with mom. And boy, that those of us, I was guilty too. Did we joke? Did we get to those guys? Some people have the gift of singleness. Some men have it, some women have it, some don't. Paul says, then in verse 27, we're going to double back. You're going to begin to see the reason why Paul said what he did. He says, and you might wonder, why is he saying this? First he's saying it's okay to get married. Then he's saying don't get married. Then he's saying it's all right to be single and so forth. But look at verses 26 and 27. Actually, verse 23, you were in the right place. I'm in the wrong place. Go back to verse 31. He says, I would like for you to, back verse 33, it says, I would like for you to be free from all concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the affairs of the world, how he can please the Lord. We just went there. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of the world, how he can please his wife. Go to the next slide. And his interests are divided. An unmarried married man, an unmarried woman, a virgin, is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of the world, how she can please her husband. Look at that. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Now, if you look at that picture on the left, you can tell that couple is not thinking like those married folks Mr. High was talking about last week. You can see there is that feeling there of joy and happiness that leads to great things, that those of you who are married know what I'm talking about. But Paul says then in the next verse, verses 26 and 27, we sort of get an answer. We're going backwards now as to why he's saying this. Paul didn't just give idle words, because those words were not for the people at that time only. They are for Christians throughout the ages. Look at what he says in verse 26, verses 26 and 27. He says, because of the present crisis. Oh, because of the present crisis, I think that it's good for you to remain as you are. In other words, if you're married, you're happily married, stay that way. Even if you're married to somebody who is an unbeliever and you are a believer, don't divorce that person. Stay with the person. Be a man or a woman. Stay as you are. Are you married? Do not seek a divorce. Are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. And why is that? Some people say, isn't this a whole bunch of contradiction? No, it's not. Stay with me and you'll see why. The present crisis. Now, what does he mean by the present crisis? I checked to see what theologians had to say about this. What is this present crisis that he's talking about? The book of 1 Corinthians, giving you a background that'll help us understand it a little more, was written around 57 AD. And Paul, being a very knowledgeable, being a very astute person, understood a lot. He was a philosopher. He was the best educated man of his time. He not only understood scripture, he was also a great philosopher. He was a historian. He understood events. He was aware of the fact that Israel, the people he wrote to at that time, were under Roman captivity. And the hostility toward Christians was beginning to build more and more. More and more, the Jews and the Christians were being really vilified. And so many theologians will say, that's why he talked about a crisis. Now, when I check to see what are they talking about when they mention a crisis, they defined it. There's a great deal of disagreement there. But the one thing, the reason why I'm using it, is the one thing they agree on. The crisis was not something that was pleasant. It was very, very bad. It could have been very well synonymous with what we are having now. Well, actually, remember I said, the book of 1 Corinthians was written in the 50s, in AD 55. The destruction of Jerusalem occurred in AD 70. What happened was there was a series of events. As the Christians, as Christianity spread, as Judaism was up, people were speaking out, the Romans became very upset, and they sent legions there to quell it. And then without explanation, they withdrew. Well, the Jews really got bold. Hey, we chased them out of here, putting it in my language. All of a sudden, the Roman emperor Vespasian got really mad. And he said, we're going to fix them. He went back and they destroyed everything. They destroyed the city. They destroyed the temple. And some people fled to Masada, because God's people sometimes can see the handwriting on the wall. Other people can see it too who are not even Christians. So they were destroyed. If you were a Christian, if you were anybody, imagine the experience you would have seeing your wife being tortured, screaming for your help, and you are unable to help her. Seeing your children being terrorized, you are unable to help them. That is difficult. It's difficult enough to be by yourself. Some people are saying, some theologians said that's what they were talking about. Others say it could have been something economic, but whatever it was terrible. If you are single, you can go through that kind of thing a lot better than you can if you're married. Come down to moving forward in history. I like to know why things are as they are, so I did a lot of reading. For example, I wanted to know what was it like during slavery for the slaves to have their families torn apart, women seeing their children taken away. Some of them were so heartbroken because they knew what it was like. They killed their children rather than have them suffer that. Some saw their wives being molested, and they attempted to do something and nearly beaten to death. Now, if they were single, they would have suffered, but not so much. Come forward to our day. Suppose you are Christians, and we have that actually going on, and you lived in Boko Haram. You lived in territory controlled by the people in Boko Haram. Very ruthless men in Nigeria. They were the ones who captured these 500 girls and women and took them out there. And you see that and you want to do something about it. That's going to hurt you if that's your wife, if that's your daughter, if that's your auntie. Particularly if it's your wife, you're going to be hurt by that. If you're a wife, and you see your husband captured, and you know what's going to happen to him, because Boko Haram has decided they don't want any more people like him to be born. So they go through heinous stuff that caused children to be born to them. That's terrible. The experts are saying this is what Paul was concerned about. He did not want Christians to be distracted from worship to God, because the first thing of importance is worship to God. Depending on how strong people are, they can be very, very distracted when there are tragedies. And so this is what he was talking about. Again, the authorities don't agree on specifically what this crisis was. They just know it was bad. And if you are married, you can deal with it a lot. It's difficult for you to deal with it. Just think of that. The person you love is screaming for your help, and you can't help. Be you a husband or a wife. It's a lot easier if you got to deal with it yourself. Suppose there's a famine. Some people are saying it was an approaching famine. Some of the scholars say it was a famine. But either way, it's going to be very difficult. Let's skip now down to verse 28. You'll see more and more what I'm driving at. Now, what he's saying also is that be you married or being you single, you can be a very devout Christian. And we can see examples of that. Think of the great black scientist, George Washington Carver. For example, he refused to marry. The reason why he married, not because of what people might have thought, but he was devoted to his work. He looked at the black community and he said, there's so much suffering out here. I believe God put me on this earth to help these people. And you look at the things that he did. For example, the soil in Alabama, not far from where Mr. Watson and I grew up, had been destroyed because of improper farming practices. He went out there and he said, this is what you're doing. You're destroying the land. To make a long story short, he says, I'm not going to get married because if I married, my wife would be second to my work. So as a single man, he did well. And a lot of people don't know, you read his autobiography, he was a very devout Christian. He spent great deals of time studying the Bible and getting students after work and teaching students the ways of God. That was his work. How many of you heard of the very famous philosopher and Christian apologist? All of a sudden, the name left me, and I didn't write it down. I knew it so well. But anyway, he didn't marry until he was in his 60s. C.S. Lewis, that's who it was. He married in his 60s because he was devoted to the ways of God. And being single up until his 60s allowed him to spend hours and hours and days and months and years studying the Word of God so that he would learn it. Had he been married, he would have been distracted. And sometimes you do get distracted when you're married. I know I've been married, happily married for 40, going on 47 years. And it's interesting sometimes how my wife behaves if I spend a lot of time. I'll be studying and doing something. She's your sister, so I'm not saying she's a bad lady. She's a nice lady, very, very nice lady. And I'll be doing something, and then I'll realize, well, I haven't talked to her in a while, and I'll go up to the room where she is. She'll get up and leave. And then I'll go back to what I'm doing, and later she'll come. I'm not number one in your life. You don't pay enough attention to me. Well, I just came up there. She just left. Now, some guys would get all frustrated. Actually, it's funny because I understand her. That's the way she is. When you're married, there are things that'll move in. But these men that I was talking about, both C.S. Lewis and George Washington Carver, didn't have that. Now, guys, I love that. I don't function that way. The Bible points out some people have the gift of singleness and other people don't have it. I don't. Go to verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 7. Listen to this. He said, but if you do marry, you have not sinned. Now, believe it or not, some people, there was a time, believe it or not, when the church thought if you married, you had done an unnecessary evil. Think of that. Married people were treated like second-class citizens. Singleness was a thing. Whereas Paul is saying, neither one is a sin. Both can be good depending on the individual, depending on how you have done so. He says, but if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Man or woman, if you marry, it doesn't matter. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. Some scholars say that's because Paul was married, and he realized sometimes it can be difficult. So, what shall we conclude from this? We can conclude from this the following. First things first is to be a Christian. Now, some people say, where do you get that from? In this particular case, it's implied, because Paul says, because of the present crisis situation, don't marry. If you do, you're going to run through a lot of trouble. And I just gave you an example. For example, if you're in the area where Boko Haram or ISIS or some other terrorist group is in control, you might have a relative taken and severely punished. If you lived during slavery time, for example, and you were married, and you saw your wife being taken away, or your husband being taken away, or your children being taken away, and you couldn't do anything. The people in Jerusalem were facing this tragedy, or whatever it was. And it was a tragedy. For example, at the sack of Jerusalem in 70 AD, it was so bad, people actually engaged in cannibalism of their own children. You see what Paul is talking about? That's very painful. But if you're single, you suffer the pain yourself, and that's the end of it. So the conclusion then is this. Paul says, it's okay to be married. It's good to be married. He agrees with God, you know, what God said back in the book of Genesis. He reemphasized it in Matthew, that it's okay to be married. God very clearly in the book of Genesis established his model of sexuality. And he reemphasized it in Matthew that a man and a woman should get married. Paul is saying, because of the present situation, eliminate as many distractions as possible so that you can put first things first. Now, as a married person, you can be a very devout Christian, but you have to be you know, you have to be quite sensitive. Because sometimes you are really serving people. You're helping the sick. You're helping those troubled. If you're a pastor, if you're married and you're a pastor, which God wants you to do. But then your wife feels you feeling you're spending too much time, and she tells you, like one of my friend's wife told him, he was going, you know, people had a lot of problems, and he was a real shepherd. He really cared for his congregation. He was a loving, caring man. And she said, you've been gone such and such a time. He said, I've got to keep going. If I call his name, you know, it's not Pastor Willard High. His wife wouldn't do that. But my other friend, the man who was the founder of the Chicago Southside Church in reality, his wife said, you go out there, okay, you go ahead. But by 9 o'clock, you better get back. If you don't, I'm gonna have a rolling pin waiting on you. What was she saying? She wasn't literally, it wasn't me either. You know, I'm not a pastor. What was she saying? I want you to spend time with me. So though he was serving God, he wanted to spend time there. He had that distraction. It pulled him away. He couldn't stay too long. But Christ is saying, Paul is saying for Christ, priority number one is worshiping God. If you're not married, you can do it easier. If you're suffering, you can undergo the suffering by yourself much better than you can if you got somebody who's watching after you. In a nutshell, what it's saying as I finish is God wants us to enjoy the things that we have available to us, whether we are married or single. But they should not be distractions. They should not get in the way of our service. You can move on. I skipped about a bit. The thing is, first things first is serving God. Now, how do you do that? Now, I've talked about it and I've said it repeatedly. Serving God is the important thing. How do you do that? First of all, you start out your morning, you start out your days putting God first. You first of all, you pray and you ask God to guide you. God, guide me and help me to do what I'm supposed to do today. Whatever it is, help me to serve you this day. Then you study the Word of God because that's how you learn what you're supposed to do. That's how God speaks to us today. He speaks to us through His Word. It tells us how we're to live. Then it's not just enough to read it, not just enough to study it, but you want to internalize it. So what does that mean? You study it and you ask God, what are you saying to me? You meditate on what God is saying to you. Then that is exercising what is called the spiritual disciplines, three of them. Then later on, as an ongoing process, you fast sometimes and you ask God to help you to get closer to Him, help to build a bigger relationship with Him so that you are really what He wants you to be, so that you're the kind of servant that He wants you to be. You can do that as a married person, but it's easier to do it as a single person, unless if you don't have that gift of singleness, it might be difficult, but God will help you, knowing what your intent is. Like at the two men I mentioned, there are women who did it, like Mother Teresa. And like the mother of, Mother Teresa never married, but she served people. The wife of John Wesley did it. She really made, you talk about a woman who made an impact, a married woman. She did it, but it must have been awfully hard. She had 14 children, but she had a schedule where she saw every one of her children could have their time with her. She did not neglect her children, and look at the contributions they made. Time does not permit my going through it. So, ladies and gentlemen, what Paul is saying, being single is okay, being married is okay, but put God first. Nothing should step in the way of our serving God. The possessions He gives us, the wives or the relationships we have, none of that should be a distraction. Now, that is implied. But you have to go through it. You have to unpack it. And you see that's what it is. Otherwise, it appears as if the Bible contradicts itself. And it does not. That requires a deeper understanding. So hit the plumb line, do your other work on it. And that way we'll understand even more of the ways of God. The first things first is serving God. That's the very reason for our being here. We are here for God's glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for having given us the opportunity to be here today. Help us to look into your word and go far beyond this sermon. Help us to look into your word daily to learn what you want us to do. Help us to understand your ways because we can't comprehend it on our own, regardless of our ability. But help us to understand fully what you want us to do. Help us to comprehend what Christians ought to be doing. Not that we can earn salvation. You've given us that as a free gift, and a gift can't be earned. But help us, Father, to learn what you want us to do so that we think, so that we speak, so that we do, so that we act like you want us to in everything we think, say, and do throughout our lives. Guide us and direct us in everything. We give you thanks and ask your blessing upon us. In the name and by the authority of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.